Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us. It is your Friday night review. I used to say your Friday night into Saturday morning, but Rampage has been dancing all around, man. I am excited to talk about it. I feel like it's been a while since I got to talk about Rampage, but who better to do that with than Double Alex's, the AKA crew in the house. But before I even talk to them, I'm going to talk to you guys and tell you to get in your super chats, get in your humper chats at humperchats.com. Join us at twitch.tv/FightfulGaming and send your bits in that way. Leave a thumbs up on this video. That's the free way to support us. My goodness, I'm giving you so many ways to support us. You can also subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're going to be doing some more stuff with that, but if you're really looking for bang for your buck, and we know you are because we got some Blue Chew users out there always looking for some bang for their buck, all right, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. You got not only tonight's rundown, but because this was a double episode, you get next week's taping rundown too. You get news on Fight Forever, you get news on CM Punk and the drama. But none of the gossipy stuff, just the good stuff, just the meat and potatoes that you're looking for at Fightful Select. So much more contract news coming around the pike. We got a huge spring and summer lineup in professional wrestling. What a great time to be a wrestling fan, and what a great time to be me, because I'm joined by a double dose of Alex's tonight. Yeah. Though Pulowski, I'm convinced, is just here to try and steal our viewers before he goes over to Fightful Select and does his sour review. But professional curmudgeon Alex Pulowski, how are you today?
Okay. I mean,
just okay. There has to be more.
Just okay. It's nice to see you.
You have to join the stream.
It's
man.
Not, like, no, it's nice to see. No, it's nice to see you guys. That's always a highlight. You know, it's just, you know, coming out of a SmackDown where it's like, boy, after the draft, we really don't know what the hell we're doing. Let's throw a whole bunch of the wall and see what sticks. And so far, to me, not a whole lot is sticking. Something's sticking in my craw, I'll tell you that much. you know, because I am a professional curmudgeon. But, yeah, you know, I'm all right.
You are, I would say, the creme de la creme of curmudgeon. The creme de curmudgeon, I would say. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that's why you're feeling just medium and not, because this is the second stream you've done with me today, because that would have been also an acceptable answer.
That was fun. Yeah.
Mr. Cardoza, how we doing over there?
I am excited as always to be here on another Friday night with the AKA, even if it's just for a little while before he leaves us. The AKA is still strong. We love it every single week. We love quickies and we're here. Let's do it.
That's what's up. We are the stronghold, the tent pole, I would say, of the Fightful Trios division. So we got that going on.
I love that.
And if you need help with your tent pole,
hold on. It's too early, just like somebody that would need Blue Chew, let me tell you. But hey, chat, let us know.
I feel attacked.
Chat, let us know if you want to start with Rampage or SmackDown. I'm leaning towards SmackDown for no other reason than Pulaski's going to probably be doing a watch-along. But we've got some chats and love already coming in. We got Ricardo, who always has a fun little surname. Right now it's currently redacted, but saying, happy birthday, compa Max Chewy, to be selfish today. Happy birthday, Max Chewy. Always so supportive and wonderful happy in birthday. Our chat. We appreciate you. More Taurus says, Taurus season, guys. It's my season, but some more love coming in from Max Chewy. Thank you so much. Happy birthday. It's my birthday, he says. Shout out to the best host, Gonyo. I think I almost said
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. Not look at terribly. You. Gonyo, you got it.
Gonyo.
Yeah. Gonyo. Yeah.
I will leave the rest of the Spanish to Mr. Cardoza on the stream, but shout out to the best chatters. Can I get Darby wishing me and Malachi a happy birthday? I'll throw that over to the master of the impressions wheel, Alex Pulaski.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mix Chewy and Malachi Black. Happy birthday to you, Brody King.
Good. That was good, yeah.
That was really good.
I honestly almost closed my eyes and I was like, where? I thought like, I was
oh my God, someone here with a skateboard right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Joel says that we should start by telling them how great In the Weeds on Fightful Overbooked is. And I would never do that. I would never, ever do this favor for Joel. I would not tell you to go watch In the Weeds mornings on Fightful Overbooked. And I'm certainly not going to put over Mike Skyros, who they had the nerve to book on the show, all right?
It's not okay.
Can you whatever give us a time do, that this might not be on?
That this might not be on? Oh, God. Which days is it? I get Jeremy's schedule.
Whatever it is, it's too damn early in the morning. That's
is Monday, it? That's what Wednesday, I was asking.
Fridays, 9 to 11, I think. Nine, but okay, we're not cool. here to plug them. Don't go back at those times and watch on Fightful Overbooked. And definitely don't check out that interview with Mike Skyros. Don't do
don't
it.
Do that. 10 a.m. noon Eastern time, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
10 a.m. noon. I just know when I don't have a meeting, I'm still also not watching it. That's how my Monday starts. But we're gonna start with SmackDown and get it rocking and rolling. So let's dive in. We do get, before we get into the show, I do want to mention that they have a nice video package here to Billy Graham, who unfortunately passed away, which I thought was well done. I felt like AEW probably could have done a better job of not throwing it in as a line of dialogue during a street fight. That felt very odd, but a loss for the wrestling community for sure. A nice tribute package here. And, you know, as always, just go back and watch old matches. I feel like that's always the best way to pay tribute to someone, but certainly one of the most charismatic superstars to ever be in wrestling, Billy Graham, for sure. Some more love that came in. Kylie asking, who's banging in bucket? Hope you all are well. Thank you so much, Ricardo, with some. Here's some love for the all-star lineup, you guys. Well, thank you. Some AKA love. But let's dive into SmackDown.
Banging and bucking. Wow.
We start off with some... the banging and bucket of its own, really. Some a drama with Roman Reigns, Solo Sikoa, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn. This is a through line throughout the night, as it normally is, but we open up with Roman Reigns, who was booked and announced properly.
Yeah.
saying that he was going to bring Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn out there when they interrupted, but he demands just two really simple things. Acknowledge him as the tribal chief and, you know, just drop the tag titles and see yourselves out. That second one seems like a pretty good ask. They obviously are not going to do that, but Roman kind of switches gears and says he doesn't want to talk to KO, but that's Sami Zayn, the highest in highs and the lowest in lows of his career. But his only regret is wasting as much of his life as he did on Sami Zayn. Zayn counters by saying that he should have hit Reigns with the chair sooner. Everyone has told Roman Reigns his whole life that he's the best. He's gotten everything he wanted. But at Night of Champions, he ain't getting those tag titles because he's just not as good. Mm. Out come the Usos to attack Kevin Owens and Zayn. Reigns isn't happy about that, though. He wanted the Usos to stay backstage. He yells at Jimmy for defying the plan. And we get a little like, I like so much how Solo Sikoa is playing this. It's just a cold shoulder. The tribal chief takes care of things, right? Mm-hmm. Solo Sikoa is just there to back them up. This is all somewhat predictable, but not necessarily bad. How this unfolds later in the night, I think, will be a little bit polarizing. I know how Alex feels about good guys cheating just because it's a return shot, Pulowski Alex. But I felt like for an opening segment, this was pretty good. I just feel like I'm kind of tapped out, even when it's good right now on the Bloodline story. Like, it's still just dominating so much of the show. And Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn's whole run has still felt like it was either in support of Matt Riddle or going up against the Usos. I want to move on from this. I'm hoping we do after Night of Champions. Pulaski, we'll start with your thoughts.
Girl, same. That is my thoughts on this. I like the idea of after they built perfectly to the Bloodline disintegrating at WrestleMania and then only went through half of it, and they decided to keep moving on. They did all the drama building up to it, and they're now the prescription to go forward is more drama, but it's MOAR because that's the meme. So like more drama, and that's their prescription. That's their strategy for SmackDown. And I feel like I'm kind of drama'd out, unless you're gonna do. Like when you're starting the drama here with like Roman yelling at the Usos starting to like realize we don't like getting yelled at, and then Solo has to determine whose side he's on, his brother's or his cousin, and like Paul Heyman seems to be getting a little bit more like anxious about everything. When you start all of that now, in middle of May, the latest you can pay all of that off, which includes Roman losing his title, is SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. If you start all this now and get all this hype going, and then you just go, just kidding, it's going to be more of the same after August, all the way through WrestleMania next year, like you can't stop and start the drama clock on this faction over and over and over again without getting highly diminishing returns. Mm-hmm. And right now, like, I'm like, okay, if you're actually going to do this, if you're going to blow up the Bloodline for good, fine. But you don't get to like fake that you're going to do it and then back off of doing it like you've done so many times in the past.
Yeah. And that is kind of an issue because they said after WrestleMania, they're in like the third inning of this, right? Which means that we are not even halfway through the game, not even close to get up in stretch time. I do appreciate everybody hopping on the acting like a white girl train, even if you're not a white girl, like Orion Bett is over here. But Mr. Cardoza, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I don't, you know, we've spoken about this for the last couple weeks, you know, where things are going after these storylines kind of like, not fizzled off, but kind of just like ended. Like, what are they, you know, and I think Alex pretty much put into perspective the drama of things. They're trying to build drama on every turn, every little bit that they are on TV. It's all about drama. I mean, is it working? Do you guys feel like it's that's the way it needs to go?
I feel like it would work if it was appropriately paced. Like, yeah. I'm in on the moments where things happen. It just doesn't feel like those moments where things happen that often. And right. The product is hurt by Roman not being around. Because it feels, the good thing is, I feel like when Roman is there, it means something's going on. Like, the weight of your double champion being there does mean something in that regard. But it's just not that often that he's there. So it's kind of a rough one for me.
Yeah, same here. That's why I'm just like, I don't know. The stories just haven't hit as hard as what they used to before. And now they're just trying to like catch lightning in a bottle of what's left from that huge spark that hit when it was, you know, with Sami Zayn and the Bloodline and all that. So it's just, I know they're trying to break it down into different levels, but I don't know. It's just not hitting as hard right now.
I honestly too, not to like retread water, but even if you had just split the titles from Roman, right now that means he's vulnerable. And I feel like all of this is a little bit more justified because he's only got now he's only got one title that he's holding on to. Like, that's not only does that solve your dual title problem, and now they've reintroduced a third one and might be putting out a guy who's going away to film Captain America, which is hysterical. I think he'll be around more, but very funny that we just keep crowning champions that leave to me. I feel like it's so much more interesting from Roman's perspective if he lost one of these titles, because now, like a maniac, he just has this one thing, and the Usos having lost their title feels like, oh my God, we're losing everything. We're bleeding out. However, that is not the direction that they went, and that will make me sad for a long time.
You think they're going to put these titles together or what? Like, everyone's walking around with like seven titles now. Titles that don't belong in brands. Like, I don't understand what's happening here with all that. Sorry, Alex. I just hit a
No, it's fine. This the whole women's tag team thing. One pair of tag team titles is cursed. The other one shouldn't be here unless you're immediately melding it with the other set of cursed tag team titles. It's weird that the cursed tag team titles aren't the ones being held by the actual witches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
you think the cursed ones should be held by the witches, but I want to bring some attention real quick to this. Oof. Sami Zayn going, you're not going to beat us at Bloodline because we're better than you. Dude, you're not better than the Judgment Day. You lost on Monday. You got pinned. Like, this is why I hate when they book crap like that, because they're just going to turn around and have the guys who got pinned on Monday cut a promo about how they're the best tag team in the world on Friday. Mm. And that can't be true because you just fucking lost on Monday.
Oof.
Like, don't do that. Don't do that to them by booking them to lose that non-title match. By getting pinned, don't do that if you're then going to script a promo for them that has them call themselves the best tag team in the world and ask us to believe them when they tell a lie. That's bad. Don't do that.
They also, because they just had a draft and didn't really split the rosters, like, that makes it even worse, because it feels like they think people who watch on Mondays don't also watch Fridays.
Correct. Right.
But A, you should hope that they do, and B, you didn't actually really split the titles, so you kind of can't assume any of that. But
sorry, I just went down a crazy path
you're
here
fine.
With you guys, just bringing all this. I saw Alex's blood pressure rise. I saw his face turn red. And I was like, "Oh, what did I do?"
Well, no, you see, this is how you got to know your teammates. You got to push the right buttons to get the rants out, and that's
no. You're
the
right.
Thing.
There you go. Hey, I'm a professional broadcaster,
and he's a professional curmudgeon, so
that's
we got
true.
It.
Yeah, we got this.
Isaac, I'm going to say Shooter. I hope that I pronounced that right. Apologies if I did not say. I think tonight's show was a great, solid story progression. Triple H cooked tonight. And when do you guys think Bray Wyatt returns?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not going to speculate on that because he's out due to illness. So that when it's illness or injury, that just always makes me kind of feel icky about speculating for return. He's one of their biggest draws, and they spent a lot of money on him. I'm sure he'll return as soon as he's kind of cleared to, and there's a program that makes sense for him to jump back into. But just best hoping and wishes. What I will throw speculation on, so you feel hopefully like you got your money's worth with your generous donation. I will throw it to my Alexes. Who do you think, maybe assuming he's coming back sooner than later, who would you like to see Bray Wyatt feud with? Or do you just want him to jump into him versus himself with Uncle Howdy here?
Oh, man.
We'll start with you, Cardoza.
I think the Uncle Howdy thing is, it's done. I don't know if you can pick it back up.
Like, I'm sorry, Bo.
I mean, honestly, like, it's either you have to, I wouldn't mind seeing him do a thing where he recruits some people. Like the Wyatt Six we were going to get. I don't know if it's got to be the right. Oh, each one represents a puppet, or it's got to be these ones that they were hinted at before. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him actually like feud with some people. And at the end of feuding with them, once he beats them, they join him. Right. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing, and you could just do that for like a year.
Yeah.
And at that point, after he's been recruiting his army, then he's a very powerful force. That way, you know, he doesn't have to be anywhere near any titles. He doesn't actually have to be like doing weird, you know, glow in the dark matches. He just picks a guy out, like drives him slowly insane, beats him in a match, and that dude is subsumed into the Wyatt conclave. I think you can do something like that that makes it interesting of who's he going to pick next kind of a thing. And Wyatt never being drafted, I think he should be able to float. Maybe he goes to Raw to pick a guy out, and then he goes to SmackDown, and everybody should be worried that they're next.
Right.
You know what I mean? Love that. That part of it is.
I don't think they're going to do that, though. I think they're going to have him pick out somebody who can't afford to take a loss. And then that person's going to take a loss in a Mountain Dew Code Red match where everything's all the lights are red.
They already have the equipment for a Code Red match. They've got the red lights.
The red cage, too.
We know that. Yeah. We know that.
Yeah.
Cardoza, any thoughts on who you would like to see him in a feud with?
It's so hard because what all these fantasy bookings that we created when we knew he was coming back and he was back have just gone out the door. There's just, what do we do with him? I don't think the writers know what to do. I don't think that there's any creative thoughts being put into it just because he's very, this is his character. So he knows where he wants to take it. And if there's a complete like dead end between what they're saying to him and what they want to do with the character, what he wants to do with the character, where are we going with it? And that's where I felt like that Mountain Dew clear Pepsi match that they had, that
the monster mini golf.
Yeah, that one.
The disco bowling.
Sorry, Alex. Mountain that one.
Clear Pepsi is that something I have not heard about or thought about since 1993, and it all came crashing back.
I have zero idea, and I honestly thought that maybe a Killer Cross match would have been cool, spooky match between them two. Anything with the Judgment Day would have been cool. There was a lot of things that we talked about on the show for several weeks and months, and look where we're at right now. It just sucks, man.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the other side of it where I feel like spooky plus spooky is not good.
Oh, really? Okay, I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize. We're allowed to have different opinions despite what
you told me. I'm reading the script. You have to agree with me or it's off the show.
Part of the stipulation of being on this post show was that as soon as Sean was like, I'm not really doing Fridays anymore, I was like, I'm taking over. Okay. Yeah. Kate's creative control.
And Sean told me, you better agree, brother.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, Sean definitely makes all of us think the way he does. That's how I got in this position. We will move along a little bit, though, as Luis makes me sad by pulling up our women's tag title stats, which we will get to later in the day. But before we get there, we got a men's tag match with the in-ring debut of Pretty Deadly and the Brawling Brutes. This was short, but probably more fun than it had any right to be. One thing that I love seeing, we get Pretty Deadly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With the win here, by the way, with the split milk on Ridge Hollins. I just, Pete Butch Dunn, whatever you want to call him, like, I feel like a lot of times when you talk about guys who are technical and methodical, the assumption is that they work really slow. And a lot of times that's true. Not this guy, man. Sometimes he comes in with these flurries of offense like we got today with German suplexes and the enziguris in the corner and the X-plex on Kit. Like, he's so good at showcasing how great he is technically with the pacing of his matches. And we saw some of that tonight. This was what I think we assumed it was going to be. This is what it should be for a debuting tag team. A fun offset personality-wise here, I think, with a more serious Pete Dunne and the silliness of Elton and Kit. The Yes Boys, Pretty Deadly. Pulaski, what do you think of this?
Why are they cooks?
Why wouldn't they be cooks?
Why are they chef? Why, on top of everything else, why are they also chefs? That just felt like it was like literally a hat on a hat. And
because they're there to cook in the ring, baby. Let's go.
I suppose. Good for Pretty Deadly. If you've seen the spoilers for who they become the Stooges for going forward, God, I'm going to hate all of that because I really liked what Pretty Deadly did tonight, and I'm going to hate their act going forward for who they're going to be stooges for. I'm not going to spoil it, but it's on Fightful Select, and oh, man, am I going to hate that act. But if you also want to know what else I hated, come over to Fightful Select because I'm going to start over there too because there's a lot of stuff I hated about tonight. But anyway, have fun, you two. AKA,
because they're a snack.
For life.
Later. We need to like create gang signs for AKA.
Yes. He has a brand called Sour Graps. You could go catch it on Fightful Select, and his title said professional curmudgeon. So if you were expecting it to be
a unbelievable,
feat, that's not what you're gonna get from him. But always based criticism. He usually will tell you what he would rather have happen. And it's always about the creative, not the talent. So just, if that's your vibe, go for it.
Word.
On Fightful Select, where you can also catch the spoiler that Alex was talking about. But what did you think of Pretty Deadly's debut?
I love these quirky characters that they sometimes sprinkle into the world. And I enjoy them. I love the way that they won, the way that they use the, you know, a little bit of the LWO tactics to win that match there. If, you know, if anybody has watched any old school wrestling, that's the way we used to do things with Mr. Guerrero and all them. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how serious we can take them for the long run. Unless they become like super heelish and just like, you know, start doing like really bad things to people, but kind of in that character that they are. But I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm not gonna think negatively. I'm not gonna like say anything bad, you know, because sometimes I tend to like not think ahead. I get lost in the moment right now. So
it's very easy because sometimes we see patterns of booking, right?
Yeah.
So you get negative about creative that you haven't seen yet. I try not to judge creative I haven't seen yet, but sometimes it's hard because things can get really predictable. So I get where you are coming from with that. But Pretty Deadly is a team that's been in NXT. I cover NXT with the other Alex who was just on here under the Sour Graps brand. So it is very critical. However, Pretty Deadly is a really great team. And they had to do a little bit of finding how that was going to work. NXT is a very wacky little wrestling world, and they did a lot of really great work and also kind of found how they function as characters.
Sure.
Some of it is very silly, but they are always great in the ring, and a lot of their shenanigans are frequently justified. So if it seems a little out there for you in the beginning, give it some breathing room, because they are really, really good in this role. But we shall keep the train rolling. We do have some more chats that came in. One from Ricardo saying, Kate, how was your birthday? Did you indulge yourself? My birthday was Sunday. Thank you so much.
Yes, happy birthday again.
Thank you. I saw my parents and I went to the farm. And then this week for work, we ended up having a work event that was at the beach. So I got to spend a little
bit of time. Wow, look at you.
I know, just exploring all of the ecosystems.
Where'd you go? Bearmar or whatever it's called? I forget.
No. It was all the way down in Cape May, actually. We had a work offsite.
Look at you guys.
I know.
Why don't you just take the ferry and head over to Delaware and just spend the day there? I love Delaware. I used to love Delaware, not anymore, but yeah.
Yeah, it that's actually where the company was originally based. So.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, I had a lovely birthday. I got to spend it with some people I love and got some much needed R&R. And now after this week, I need R&R again. So I'm looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah.
But thank you for the kind words and for asking. We got another chat that is perfect to segue us into Asuka and Zelina Vega, who gives a nice promo up here saying that, everything that happened in Puerto Rico meant so much to her, and she is still kind of flying high off of it. However, that did not last long, and it does bring me to something that is disappointing here. We get Asuka winning with the scissored armbar, which is fantastic. She refuses to let go of it until Bianca Belair comes out to make the save. Asuka grabs her from the floor and spits mist, barely connecting with the champ.
Yeah.
we do have this match, and later we get a tag match that's basically a squash. And on Raw, we had 3 minutes and 42 seconds of women's wrestling. We also had more segments, so that is important to give other screen time. In the 5 hours of wrestling, though, that we had between Monday Night Raw and SmackDown tonight, the same complaints that I would have about the AEW women's division that everybody told me was about the AEW women's division because it's AEW, actually not true, because this pisses me off too. Why do we have like 10 minutes of wrestling or less for women on 5 hours of programming? Now, NXT, I must say, as frequently bad and frequently really bad as some of the stories can be down there, screen time wise for women and some of the women's talent that they have down there, they're actually doing a pretty damn good job. But it annoys the hell out of me when you have this draft, you still haven't clarified what women's title is on what show. I'm guessing we're going to get that after the pay-per-view. It's egregious that we don't know why the Raw Women's SmackDown or the Raw Women's Champion is on SmackDown and vice versa, and they've just never acknowledged it. And we have less than 10 minutes of women's wrestling, I'm going to say. This is trash. Like, do a better job. You have such talented women's rosters. You just called up a new, like, infusion of women's wrestling from NXT. You have a chance to reset everything with these new rosters. What do you have for Rhea Ripley? Natalya, who was drafted to SmackDown, showing up on Raw.
Yeah.
They could have made her a free agent, because apparently free agents just float in between. This is just wildly frustrating to me as a fan of wrestling in general and women's wrestling. I want to see real matches. In both cases, I will say tonight, the idea of a squash kind of made sense. You want the NXT tag champions to look dominant in their debut. You also want Asuka, as much as I love Zelina Vega, if we're going to buy into Asuka and Bianca again and they're actually going to try and tell a story, squashing Zelina kind of makes sense here. I would like Zelina to look a little bit stronger. However, like, they just got to figure out a better way to maximize screen time for women. Because this ain't it. This ain't it. 10 minutes of women's wrestling in 5 hours just ain't it. So, anyway, I am very happy to see Asuka being prominently featured. However, she's great. Bianca and Asuka had a great match at WrestleMania, and building out an actual story here would be very nice. Any thoughts on this match and the post-match that we got?
No, I mean, I just hope that they don't continue to lean on the backlash events and stuff like that, because at some point it does kind of seem like it's, you know, getting a little bit redundant, just continuing to, Oh, what a great, like that was, it really was. But at some point you got to kind of like move on and continue to grow this character that you're putting in front of us. You're really putting a lot of time into the Latinos on WWE right now. So how can we now take her character and move it up? You know what I'm saying? Like, how can we advance her and perhaps use those things like, you know, the backlash as something that we can talk about later on, not just continue to use it as a crutch every freaking week on a promo. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, I just hope that they really do give Zelina her time and put her on some meaningful matches and see where we can go with her and perhaps make her a contender. Sure. She's good in the ring, man, so why not? And then this whole thing with the women that you're talking about, we're going back to a couple months ago. We were both complaining about this. Like, what is, you know, like, I don't understand. There's a lot of women on the roster and stories that you can tell galore. I mean, you could literally build your own 1 hour show off the women that you have, you know?
And they just got drafted to these brands. Make them feel like a big deal.
Yeah, no, man. It's, I don't understand. They can work just as good as the men.
Sure.
I don't understand what's happening.
Matthew Plus chiming in as a delight, as always, saying, would argue Katie, it's Kate, my full name's Kate, shouldn't be championing for more screen time for women. We'd all be better off with less of her. Listen, Matthew Plus, all right, Matthew Midas, thank you for your money. And if you keep that up, I'm going to have people hack your account. And I don't mean your YouTube account, but I have some information that I could release to the public. Okay. Yeah. and people are going to be stealing your hotel discounts. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
But if you don't want people taking your hotel discounts, go get NordVPN.
You know what? You raise a good point, sir. You raise a very good point. And that you do need a little extra security if you're going to send in snarky little chats like that, because there are hosts over here who are going to do something about it, all right? You need a little extra security. You need a little extra help. And our friends at NordVPN, who you were just talking about, they're the perfect ones. They're the perfect people to help you out with your internet security.
NordVPN.com/Fightful makes my browsing experience better. Way better than yours if you don't use it. Why? Because I can block online trackers. I can block annoying pop-up ads and malware. I can browse safely, securely, wherever I am, even if I'm right here on all my devices. This laptop, actually this is a desktop, what am I saying? But this laptop right here, this phone right here, that router over there, the TV over there, all with NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can also save on pay-per-views. Maybe you want to check out AEW without commercials. Maybe you miss the old WWE Network. Maybe you want to buy a big UFC pay-per-view with an overseas service at a much more affordable rate. NordVPN.com/Fightful not only has you covered, but when you get one of their plans, you're effectively going to save yourself money. And I'm going to save you some more. 4 months free on top of that deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
I do I now count as the king of Segway? No.
You got, listen. Okay.
I don't listen, you're the queen here who reads all the stuff. I'm just following along, so.
You are great, but I've put in a lot of work on the Segway front. I almost said Subway front, all right? It's about drive,
you're hungry.
It's about power, and it's about our backgrounds being back and me forgetting that because Pulowski started the show with us. But we've got a lot more show. Guys, get in your super chats and get in your humper chats. We appreciate your support so much, even when it's from pesky people like Matthew Plus, who's actually a pretty all right person. Orion Ben saying, Mirror Alex, why aren't WWE selling LWO chanclas?
I don't know. They sure are talking a lot about it. They sure have Michael Cole be the bearer of chancla news now all of a sudden. Like, I'm like, what are you talking about, Michael Cole? Like, whatever, dude. You know, I should start selling them, but I don't want to get another cease and desist.
That's right. That's right, you will. They'll come after you. They don't want you eating into their profit. But we move along to the Grayson Waller effect over here. Yeah. Grayson Waller, another NXT call-up who is with AJ Styles. Here's a weird thing to do. If somebody has a title match that might get them drafted to Raw, setting up two feuds with other people is a little bit weird. It kind of feels like you telegraphed AJ losing. I think AJ's going to lose anyway. However, kind of set up two feuds. You got Karrion Kross with the tarot card later, and you also have Grayson Waller here. Now, this is something that they did in NXT already. I think that this is a good way to introduce him to the roster. It kind of, you can stave off his in-ring debut a little bit, but an effective enough segment here. Grayson Waller calls AJ Styles a first ballot Hall of Famer, which I like, kind of put in the face over here. But he does talk about how he thinks Seth Rollins is going to win, and they kind of square up and jaw at each other here. I think this was a good introduction to LA Knight. Now, most of my, or to LA Knight. Yeah, we'll talk about him in a minute. To Grayson Waller. My complaints about Grayson Waller and NXT were more that they scripted him to lie to us all the time. They felt like he was coming across as a chicken shit heel, but what was actually happening was he was losing constantly and telling us how he was the best ever. And it didn't come across as a confidence thing. It came across as a misrepresented thing. But good stuff from the Grayson Waller effect here. What were your thoughts?
I don't know, like, I guess because I did watch him on NXT, I was already accustomed to, you know, who he was and the storylines that he was building on there and his snarkiness, right? And just overall the character, which was really cool to see. I don't think if anyone were to be turning it on you know, for the first time, to watch him for the first time, I don't think it, I think people would be confused. Like, why is he calling out AJ? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe build a little bit more.
We probably should have referenced that experience between the two. Yeah.
So
that would have made more sense for sure.
I love who he is. I love how snarky he gets. Did not like that shot at my boy Austin, Mike Rome, when, you know, like, hey, listen up and take some notes. That wasn't very nice. Kind of
not told very me, nice guy. This no, Grayson Waller.
Probably. I kind of texted him and said, you should go punch him in the D.
Yeah,
just for being mean like that to you.
Go punch him in his Aussie. You
yeah,
know what I mean.
Yeah, but
that's what's up.
But I do think, can I tell you, I do think that if they do him right, yeah, he could really explode on the scene. But I also thought about that about Killer Cross. So I'm just going to hold off there a little bit.
Yeah.
And
depends what they do with them, right? Yeah. Like, some of it's just out of their control. Matthew Plus.
Oh,
wait. Going in hot. Saying, I'll admit that was a good segue for a Marine. Thanks for the money.
Thank you for my 25 cents today. The funny thing is that Kate sends me that in nickels through the mail, by the way. She doesn't even Venmo me. She literally puts a nickel in an envelope.
That's it. And it's not even like in a roll of them. Like, we don't wait that long. You're like, oh, what a nice organized note.
And she writes the address wrong just to send it back to her.
That's right. Yeah, they come back to me. It says four super chats with the number four.
Love it.
That's what we do here. Moving along, we have the Karrion Kross promo as well about him facing AJ next week. Whew, they got work to do to make Karrion Kross feel important, man. Like,
super.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see. But we get the Street Profits versus Rick Boogs and LA Knight with a post-match that I can only say was a relief, by the way it unfolded here. LA Knight turns on Boogs. It's the BFT after. But before that, we have the Street Profits winning with pinfall. Nothing makes me happier than like a Montez Ford Frog Splash, man. He is unbelievable with those. Fantastic in the ring. Street Profits continuing to look strong. They were drafted high. They're picking up some wins here. Works for me. LA Knight, they got to figure out something to do with him. And I don't think a feud with Rick Boogs is the way to go, unfortunately. Like, he seems super charismatic and a lot of fun. And Rick Boogs in NXT did some really fun stuff. But so far on the main roster, it just feels like he's mostly like, here's a gorilla press, because that's kind of all he's got in the ring. And I don't know, this like juiced up version of him feeling like, I don't want to say he's juiced up because that like implies that he is, but he definitely looks like he ate Jeff Cobb to me. Like, he came back looking so, whoa, good for him. Not that he was a slouch before, but I don't know. This just isn't it to me. I really feel like LA Knight should be in a mid-card title picture. Like, he's so over with the crowd and it feels kind of wasted on this, but better than being in a full-on tag team with Rick Boogs, I will say that. Your thoughts on the match and the post-match here?
Yeah, I don't know what the... So that's another one. What is this is like a really reoccurring trend tonight. I don't understand what's happening here, and I don't want to feel like that. I want to feel like every time we talk about a match, it's leading to something else, and I'm excited for it. But this is another one. Like, okay, cool. Like, where are we taking LA Knight? Why is he in these meaningless matches right now? Like, it's not really advancing anything. Is it going to take him somewhere? No, because it's you're not showing that he's going to go somewhere. So
he had such awesome work with Bray Wyatt, and it feels like ever since then, they just kind of like pushed him off.
Amazing on that Clear Pepsi match. It was just one of a kind. And I think they got so, I'll be honest, maybe there was no synergy there. That's why they ended that so quickly with the Bray Wyatt deal. But I could have felt like they could have gotten a lot more.
The in-ring so long that it just like... It
yes, that's... Yes, right.
Yeah, it felt like it was going on too long and then somehow like wasn't really enough at the same time. Matthew Plus finally saying something nice in these parts. All right. Should have called him Boogsy Nights. Even if just for one night, they absolutely should have done that. And I think creative should happen based on things that pop me and me alone. So they should have done it because it would have popped me.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what they're going to do. I hope that everything starts turning around in the world of WWE with when it comes to the storytelling, because I just feel a little lost, and I don't want to talk like that. I want to be happy and talk about where they're going.
I think it'll be interesting to see what happens after the pay-per-view, because now it's like you have your drafted rosters, you have the pay-per-view cleared, you're building toward a bigger one, and you got Money in the Bank and SummerSlam coming down the pike, right? So yeah, there's a lot there, but feels like Cody never got to finish the story. The Usos and Kevin Owens, I would like them to end the damn story already. It feels like it was already finished and is still going on. We've got some work to do here on SmackDown, but one thing that I'm excited about is Cameron Grimes, because he's going to the moon, Alex. He says, being in SmackDown feels living like a dream. Made a big splash on Baron Corbin in one of the fastest matches ever. I'm still lobbying for this to become a situation where Baron Corbin is his heavy. I think the personality combo right there could be so much fun. Any thoughts on this Cameron Grimes interview backstage here?
No, I'm not really hip to like a lot of his background, just a few things that I saw on NXT. So I'm excited to see what they're going to, and it's cool to see a brand new, fresh perspective on SmackDown with all these new characters coming in and all these new people from NXT. So it feels fresh and it feels alive, right? So I'm hoping that they do right by Cameron, and glad he wasn't Uncle Howdy.
As am I, for several reasons. Cameron Grimes is great. If you're not familiar with him from NXT, he's fantastic. Huge personality and can do comedic stuff like you're kind of getting a taste of here, but he's also delivered some incredibly sincere promos that were fantastic as well. He was in limbo for like 6 months. I'm so glad. Yeah. They have made him a priority here on SmackDown. So good stuff. Then we move along to Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, or Isla Dawn, as Michael Cole accidentally called her the first week. Still pops me. Versus Valentina Ferroice and Yulisa Leone, who was injured, and glad to see her back. She was injured for months. So nice to see that she is cleared and okay here. Let's talk some women's tag team stats. Because Luis is kind enough to dig them out. Your main roster title reigns were the Kabuki Warriors at 171 days, Carmella and Zelina at 132 days, Tamina and Natalya at 129 days, the Iconics at 120 days, Damage Control at... the Iconics at 120 days, also 5 and 13 days. Damage Control at 114 days and 49 days. Nia and Shayna at 113 days and 7 and 11 days. The Golden Role Models at 86 and 49 days. And we'll stop right there because it gets sadder. NXT, even worse shape, man. You got Alba and Isla, who are here now. The TikTok tag team, which was Kaden and Katana, who you saw last week at 186 days. Toxic Attraction, probably the best booked ones, at 158 and 91 days. Io and Zoe at 112 days. The Way at 63 days. Fallon Henley and Kiana James, who we have our own nicknames for, and Horse Girl Porn account at 56 days. That's rough. Ember and Shotzi, your first ever ones at 55 days. Alba and Isla at 49 plus days, which are your current champions. Cora Jade and Roxanne, your ninth longest ranking tag team champions. 2 weeks.
Jesus.
Roxanne by herself at number 10 is not the shortest amount of time that someone has held these titles. Roxanne Perez held them on her own for 7 days. Raquel and Dakota Kai held them for 3 days and also 45 minutes.
Wow.
They do not know how to book women's tag team wrestling. I'm sorry to say that, but it is true. We get a squash here from Alba Fire and Isla Dawn versus these two. SmackDown has more NXT women's tag teams than NXT does at the moment, but good enough here. They win with a pinfall, a double reverse STO. Raquel is interviewed backstage shortly after this, shouting out Liv Morgan and says she's not replaceable. They had to relinquish because of Liv Morgan's injury. Unfortunately, those are the cursed tag titles that Alex Pulaski was referring to before. Damage Control come along, and Bayley says if she can find someone to replace that idiot Liv, she and Io will be waiting for them next week. Dakota Kai also injured here. Merge the titles.
Yeah.
You can't book one, much less two. Merge the titles, put some effort behind it. this is really rough that all of the women's titles right now are just all over the place. Your NXT ones are on SmackDown. Your Raw Women's Champion is on SmackDown. Your SmackDown Women's Champion is on Raw. And your floating women's tag titles are relinquished. This is bad. This is not well booked. Your thoughts on everything I've just said?
It's, if I can curse here, it's a complete shit show right now.
It is.
It's, you know, we've said this before on Fred with Freddie. They don't care for tag team wrestling as much, right? They just, because
it's not a priority there.
And they got to pay two people instead of one.
Correct.
So I don't know why they let this go so far. I don't know if there's someone in the back end who works and, you know, a continuity person who says, hey, this doesn't make sense or we're doing this wrong. I don't think there's someone back there taking a look at what we're looking at and saying, let's fix this. Let's make it better, right? Because we're not talking about having hours on end of women's wrestling to take over everything, right? We're talking about making these stats make sense and having these tag team titles do something to elevate these women. Because right now, it's just, we're giving away belts. We're letting go of belts. We don't know what's happening. People are injured. People are not injured. It's bad. I can't keep up with it. It's crazy.
It's not great. Matthew Plus said, Katie, make Liv and vacate your hosting duty. I'll tell you what.
Wow.
I would do that if Liv Morgan wanted to sit in for me. If Liv wanted to host this show, I would let her. I think that would be great. So Liv Morgan, if you're watching and you want to host, I'll relinquish my post.
She has time, doesn't she?
I guess so, yeah. So we'll see. But Orion Ben also pointing out that the real number one contenders appeared later on this show. Yeah, it's a little bit like, it's just very, 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 very directionless. Very, 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 very directionless. I'll put it that way. We move along to an Austin Theory promo, which feels like ChatGPT wrote it, to be honest.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Just nothing great on this for me. This hasn't been for me. I do like that he says that he wasn't in the tournament because Seth Rollins would lose to him. Like, I appreciate that they called back to that at least. But the rest of this, him being like, me and Sheamus both beat John Cena, like, this just isn't very, very good. But we do get a big-ass bro kick from Sheamus, which is always, 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 always fun to see. Not necessarily what I need from Sheamus. It really feels like, I don't know, I feel like it's unresolved. He's got to be the IC title holder. I can be patient and wait for my rematch, but he deserves that Grand Slam championship. But him being in the U.S. title picture, I'm like, no, he should be going after that other one. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm having trouble investing in Austin Theory. A lot of people aren't. A lot of people really like Austin Theory, and that's awesome. I have no problems with him in the ring. I think he's really, really, really good in the ring. But I just, in these promos, it just feels extremely generic for me. What are your thoughts?
Same. You know, there was a point before where it felt like he was reading off screen with his promos. He wasn't like, it didn't look very natural. Obviously, that's changed. He looks very good now out there. And, you know, but he's another one. Where are we going? What are we doing? We got Sheamus come out and destroy you. So does this mean that we're putting Sheamus in there against him? Like, what are we doing? Are we giving Sheamus now the U.S. title and not putting him up against anyone else that we want him to fight and win? You know, like, I don't understand. Like, I feel bad for Theory because he's another one that has just been now floating around with this title. Meaningless arguments, fights, and promos.
Well, it always seems to be like,
I feel bad. I feel negative today. Why am I like this today?
Well,
I just,
it wasn't very good.
Like, damn it.
Unfortunately, some of the creative just isn't very good here. But I do feel like the disconnect of Austin Theory being like, you're a believer now because I'm so good, but constantly winning with cheap shots, it doesn't, is incompatible. Like, those two things can't be the same. Now, Sheamus winning presents a lot of really interesting possibilities, and I think it could give Austin Theory some breathing room to maybe hopefully go figure out some more things, because I don't know if this has been the strongest strain of his life, but I don't know. If they run it till SummerSlam, I think Sheamus probably goes over. I think that's a really good call, because I think Sheamus deserves it. Like, I think that he is one of those guys who for years they've missed on, like, how good he can make other people look, and he could do some really good work with that title. I also like that he's working face right now. And when you have a heel at the top, it's nice to have a face in your mid-card titles, because it just has a little more balance to the show. When you have heel on heel, your baby faces on the roster are going to get spread very thin, and your heels are not going to have a lot of opportunity outside of the ones that are holding your titles, right? So that just, for me, I appreciate that balance. Like, I like that in AEW we have Wardlow as a face and MJF as a heel, right? There's a super baby face and a super heel over there doing their work. So there's a little bit more level of a playing ground for the rest of the roster. But that's just a me thing.
Yeah, I honestly thought that they were going to push him, you know, to for the IC title or something like that, you know. But if this is the way that they're going to go, and what I mean, it'll elevate the U.S. title. You know, Sheamus is a great contender, someone that could run around with the title, maybe have Drew come back and they like want to fight over, I don't know, whatever the case may be, you know, and eventually one of them will turn again, you know, the big show syndrome. And we see where we take it. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. I just feel bad. I just feel like there's been, I've been like really excited about, oh yeah, theories out there. But then I'm like, oh, wait a second. But where's this going? I feel bad because I'm overanalyzing, and I don't want to.
You're not overanalyzing.
I want to sit and enjoy.
I know you do, but it's also like, realistically, you're not going out of your way to be negative. It just feels like there's not anything to sink your teeth into. Yeah. And hopefully that changes with the draft and after this next pay-per-view. It feels like a lot has gotten gummed up over the past month. But if you want something to be positive about, Santos Escobar is just the coolest badass on the face of the earth, man. This guy is so great. I was rooting for this guy. Not rooting, but like booing in support of, because he was a heel in NXT and doing such amazing work there. I had hesitations about him turning face just because he's such an effective heel, but man, oh man, is that guy over as a face, and can he be a face just as well as he can be a heel? I am loving this. Luis mentioned that something, I forget, I think it was, I can't remember if he said it was Santos or Ray who said that it was going to be a bueno chinga, which is ass whooping in Spanish.
Buena chinga.
Cruz tells Rey and Santos to bring a buena chinga, a good ass whooping to the Usos. We get some Usos and Heyman drama, which this I actually really liked. Heyman being like, you just don't know how hard it is to be the title chief. This killed me.
Victim.
Oh my gosh. Just like, it's so hard to be the tribal chief. You guys don't even know. Like, killed me. It felt like such a self-pitying, like, it's so hard being a supermodel because I'm so hot, people won't talk to me, they're so intimidated by how pretty I am. Like, it felt that vibe to me, and I ate it up. I loved it. He says that it's all under control, but that, and the tribal chief forgives both of them. But when Jimmy asks, he grabs his hand, sorry, I can't read my own notes, and says Roman won't be out there tonight. It's fine. The LWO, they've got this. The Usos are unhappy about this. I like this because Roman Reigns has consistently not been there for them. And he didn't want the Usos' help tonight. Like, there is a full-on wedge between the two. Match is great. I'm going to cut to the end. We could talk about it in a little bit. But Kevin Owens comes down. Sami Zayn pushes Jimmy off the top rope, and Ray takes advantage. Tag is made. 619, Senton to Jay, Santos off the top. We're going home. This is great. Now, if Alex Pulowski were here, he'd be having a fit. And I can't say he's wrong.
Wow.
I always rip my headphones out of my own ears.
You're having it for him.
I am having it for him. He would say, just because a bad guy does something to you as the good guy doesn't mean you get a return shot. I don't mind it because this has been going on so damn long, and the Usos, like, it feels, I don't know. It felt fine to me tonight that Sammy and KO, because it's like, at some point you've had enough of this shit, right? Right. Like at some point you kind of gotta do something like this here. LWO wasn't going to go over clean. I would love for them to, but at the same time, they're advancing this other story, which I get. But the match itself, I thought was fantastic. The timing and the pacing had me biting, man. Like I was biting at some near falls here that were super fun. Santos Escobar is unbelievable. Rey Mysterio being this good at his age is absurd.
Yeah.
It was such a blast. I loved the gear tonight too. Those vibrant colors, like so much fun, but just the emotional investment that got me on something that didn't have a ton of it initially, I thought was really, really good. What did you think, Alex?
I said the same thing. I didn't want them to win with any help, right? Because they've just been, they haven't had the best of luck being on television. So just to have them kind of just win without having anyone with any funny business outside of the ring, but whatever, I'll take it. A win is a win. I love that Santos is freaking showing off right now. He's in front of millions of people doing his thing. And if we are, as fans, we're smart enough and as journalists, fan enough to, you know, big enough to understand who this person is and how good he is, I'm hoping the people that work there understand that this man could elevate your company and bring in a lot of eyes. And Nick Khan mentioned it. They're going after the Latino community. My man, Ray is past his years. Let's elevate this man. Because what I saw tonight was incredible. And listen, not to take anything away from Ray. Ray's a legend.
Oh, yeah. He's in his 50s, right?
He's 25 in my mind. He's never really aged. He's doing crazy stuff in the ring.
But Santos is in his prime for sure. They have something in him. And to your point, I hope they recognize it, because I feel the same way about Mustafa Ali and LA Knight and all of these guys. But it does feel like with the screen time he's getting and the push that the LWO seems to be getting in general, hopefully they do recognize something there. I'm kind of bummed them and Imperium aren't on the same program, because I want them to have a feud as units. But the fact that you can do LWO versus the Bloodline while it's in dissension.
Yeah,
is a great way to get the LWO some wins, while not necessarily harming the Bloodline, because they're kind of on their way.
And great match, by the way. The Usos right now are playing this dramatic turn of events that's happening in their lives right now, and I'm bought in. I'm seeing the crack in the armor, so I'm really excited to see what's happening there. So hey, man, mi gente Latina, we won one. Let's go.
There you go. Well. This match was for me, but sometimes there were things on the show that didn't make me so excited. There were things on the show that fell kind of flat to me. Okay, there were a little limp. There were some matches, especially the women's matches, that could have lasted a little longer.
Wow.
And I think maybe on the blue brand, they might have forgotten to take their own blue brand. You know what I mean?
If you're watching this, you have probably considered becoming a pro wrestler at some point. Well, let me tell you, I got your gimmick and I got your gimmick. Here's your gimmick name, Rock Hard Eric Shins. And your gimmick is Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Same approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but you don't want those. You don't want those. You want Blue Chew. It's chewable, gets into your system a lot faster. It's ready when you are or when you're not. Maybe you need that motivation. Maybe you need that step up in performance. Or maybe you just want a little bit of additional confidence. Take an online questionnaire with a physician, and when approved, it arrives straight to your door. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping, because that first shipment is free when you use the code Fightful. Mailman's not going to know what's up. The nosy Nellies around your neighborhood aren't going to know what's up. But let me tell you, that special someone's going to know what's up. BlueChew.com and the code Fightful.
I'm changing, legally changing my name to Rock Hard tonight. Just like, I'm trademarking that ASAP, by the way. So
I adore those ads, because Sean forgot to switch his mic. It just makes me laugh, because he always gives me crap about
I just
setup.
Always feel a little attack when I'm on the show with Kate. The way she kind of looks into my eyes and delivers these promos.
What do you mean?
Oh, see, there it is. I'm like, well, maybe I do feel a little flaccid. I don't know what's going on today.
Guys, sorry, I have to fix my charger real quick. It's acting up a little bit. But while I do that, Alex, I will throw this over to you because we got a super chat from Dennis Diaz. Thank you so much for supporting, saying, do you enjoy AEW or WWE more for a weekly show right now?
Right now, as a weekly show, I'm enjoying AEW for the reason being that it's geared towards my age. So there's a lot more stuff going on in that program that's I can wrap my head around. Not saying that WWE doesn't have that. WWE has had, for the last couple of months, has had an incredible storyline with the Bloodline. I've been all in on that. But outside of that storyline, the smaller beat stories haven't really panned out as much and as well as that one has. Now, AEW has its faults with sometimes just dropping storylines or whatever the case may be, a lot of the time, actually. But I'm still in that party vibe. When I turn it on every Wednesday, it's like, oh, my God, like the people are crazy. The matches are really good. The workers are doing their thing. And I think Kate has mentioned this before, as when we first started the show together, was the fact that they were missing. There was like plot holes in stories and things were missing. But they've kind of gotten it together as of late with that stuff. Not as much, but I like what they've been doing with the trios. The trios I've been kicking ass as of late. All the trios matches. That was dead before in the water. And all of a sudden, it just picked up and took off. The women have also picked up. I mean, the women have really picked up big time. I'm invested. So long story short, I apologize for the long-winded. I was just waiting, making sure you plugged in whatever you're plugging in. AEW, but it's by a slight margin. WWE could always flip it on and be like crazy, but they just haven't yet. I think they're holding themselves back because of this merger and television deals coming along. We'll see what happens here in the next couple months with them.
My answer is ROH.
Yes.
ROH is my favorite weekly program when it's in the studio, probably most weeks. However, between AEW and WWE, it does kind of depend on the week, but I do lean more AEW of late. Just I feel like this Elite and Blackpool Combat Club story is so interesting.
Oh my God. Yeah.
There are some things I would like to see them clean up. I feel like Swerve and Keith Lee, they really botched. Jade Cargill has not. She's kind of just eating through everyone, man. They gotta figure out what to do with her. We're about to talk about what happened with her on Rampage tonight. I love what they're doing with the Four Pillars story, and I just think it's a unique way to formulate a story. So I don't know. There for me just feels like a little bit more creative risk and things that I'm connected to. Match quality wise, when given the time, I think both companies are killing it with like what we saw in tonight's main event. I thought was great what we see. Opening the show was Claudio and Rey Fénix. It's just like, I'm sorry, what? Like just insane. So from a wrestling perspective, when given the appropriate time, I think we are in a true golden era of wrestling. But it kind of changes every week. I would say AEW more consistently, but man, my favorite match of this entire week was Zack Sabre Jr. and AR Fox on Ring of Honor. Like, it's not even on TV. So I just love wrestling. But to answer the question, right now, I would say AEW is probably edging out for me because of that top story. But speaking of the Blackpool Combat Club, they open our show tonight against the Best Amigos. The Best Amigos, of course, being the best friends and Roosh and Buddy.
Thanks for clearing that up for me.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Your Spanish is impeccable. I love it.
Gosh, well, can't you tell?
Dude, I'm totally learning so much from you.
Bueno amigos. And Duolingo. I learned so many phrases.
She said Duolingo.
This match was short and predictable, but super fun. That's kind of how Rampage tends to be these days and how it's going to continue. winning. We get a Death Rider and Claudio throwing people into the splash for three. This match was really fun. Bandido is awesome, Jesus. Man. Like, just always coming in so hot with his top rope dive on Claudio. The sequence where he took the pop-up power bomb and turned it into like a springboard Rana pin attempt. Nuts. I think he is probably, we got asked this question on the Ring of Honor post show. Who do you think is the first Lucha with all of this incredible Lucha talent that's happening right now to be a champion? I would put money on Rush probably being that first guy because it's just, it's incredible. We'll see what happens in the Andrade return. I feel like he could very easily slip into that slot, but a very, very fun match. I'm going to give you the post-match vignette that we get here and then throw it over to you to talk about it. But we get a vignette from Kyle Fletcher, who is a 24-year-old, in my opinion, every time I see him more, becoming a phenom right in front of our eyes. His attack of Orange Cassidy is included in this, and he points out his own accolades and says, why not add the international championship to it? Kyle Fletcher, one half of the IWGP Tag Champions. They've got more gold over there. They're kind of on this belt collecting spree. I think we are leading to them in FTR for a match, maybe with the Lucha Brothers thrown in there with their ROH titles. That would be really fun at Forbidden Door. Kyle Fletcher is unbelievable. Now, Aussie Open in general is fantastic, but I cannot get over how many wrestlers in their young 20s and sometimes teens are doing like just phenomenal wrestling work right now. I would be remiss if I didn't say Kyle Fletcher is like in that same conversation as the MJFs of the world at this age. He gets tag wrestling in a different way. I would say there are some wrestlers that when you see them live, you just connect to them on a different level. Aussie Open, definitely one of those when I went to New Japan. I cannot wait to see what he and Orange Cassidy put together. I'm so excited, but keep an eye out on this kid. You're going to be talking about him for decades, I promise you. What did you think of our super fun opening match, in my opinion, tonight? And what are your thoughts on this vignette and Kyle Fletcher?
Hard hitting. Like, you know, so this is, it's common nature now that if you're going to go and be on television against the BCC, you are going to have a fight. I don't care how you look at it. And I think that they, and by they I mean Trent, Chuck, Bandido, they matched intensity. So that's why the match was actually pretty damn good. As for Kyle Fletcher, here's what I got to say. The world of professional wrestling is very big. And I feel that AEW has done an incredible job of bringing these people from other companies, showcasing them in a way that you can actually know who they are and look into these characters and feel something for them, just like you did. And I, as a casual fan who was just watching from the outside and not really big into New Japan Pro Wrestling or anything like that, you know, I bought in and I started watching things and I started looking people up and watching matches and what, you know, just going down that deep dive. And this is why it's so important. And I want to say this to the guy, to everyone here on the chat. It's very important to have a viable competitor or company alongside another one, right? Because Pepsi wouldn't exist as well as it is if it wasn't for Coke. Especially so on and so Pepsi. On. It's super. I still have mountains of clear Pepsi out in my shed in the backyard here in the backwoods of North Carolina. So I feel like what they are doing, the Forbidden Door stuff, like Kyle Fletcher's insane. And the fact that we are getting to see him on free TV, just putting himself out there, you know, bringing in these promos and letting you know he's coming. Like, you got to like read up and educate yourself a little bit on these characters, but why not? Why not? Because,
well, thank God we got a vignette here because we all know the scandal that took place with Vikingo. So Josh, I just want to say, when they first were on my screen too, I was like, oh, they're pretty cool. And then I was like, oh, wow, they're really good in the ring. I kind of, the more I've gotten to get into them, they're now like one of my favorite tag teams.
Yes. So, same.
So they might be a bit of a slower burn, but keep an open mind with them. I would encourage you because It's just once you, for me, it was they had a match on ROH and they were talking to Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal, and they were like, man, you guys, Kyle Fletcher was just gave this really great promo that was like, you guys were just one of the best tag teams that's ever been in Ring of Honor when I was 12, like, or whatever. Wow. It was so his delivery with it and everything he worked out, like, the more I've gotten to know them, the better. So,
and they've been around for a while.
Presentations also translate differently to different shows too.
Yeah, that's
especially with New Japan. Like, you saw how Shinsuke was presented when he faced Muda versus how he is in WWE. So give a little breathing room to how people show up on your screen too. And just in general, I would say and encourage. But I'm glad that you're in on Kyle Fletcher too, because I love him. I think you've got a lot to look forward to with this guy. One thing that I'm not like looking forward to, but had a positive outcome in the end, is just the lather, rinse, repeat nature of the booking of Jade Cargo. You built up so much stock in her, and it feels like she's ice cold, not any fault of her own, but it's, they haven't had anything for her to do but smoosh people for like months at this point. We do get a development with Taya Valkyrie here, which I'm very excited about. But before that, I actually thought this was a pretty innovative way to have some squash matches and make them feel kind of important. Jade Cargill holds an open challenge, and we get Jade versus Danny B. This is a squash to nobody's surprise. She tells Danny B to get up after knocking her down and pump kicks her for a three count. Then Genocide, not Genesis, as Chris Jericho accidentally called her on commentary, and as a couple of news outlets picks her up as, which I thought was funny, Genocide. She's great, so she deserves to have her name clarified. I'll just put it that way. They lock up, and she's a lot stronger. Like, she's more in Jade Cargill's world as far as strength. So an effective way to have this happen. But she sends her hard into the ropes and spears her. Jade, it's over. The next person to answer the open challenge, because what I liked here was like, keep feeding them, keep feeding them, keep feeding them. Taya Valkyrie comes out and she hits the Valhalla on Jade, and they set that up as our double or nothing card. I wish this was featured on AEW Dynamite a little bit more than it has been, because she was brought in to feel like a big deal as a Canadian talent. And she's been not only relegated to Rampage, but at Rampage, where it's like, we're on at midnight on Saturday, and the next week we're on at 3 p.m. on Friday. And who knows, maybe we'll do a noon Sunday show. Like, this is not a great way to showcase an undefeated multi-year women's champion. It does feel like we're just stalling until maybe Chris Statlander comes back. I would love to see, if Chris isn't going to be ready for a bit, Athena thrown into the mix. Her ROH train has been incredible. She deserves it. Maybe revisiting the feud with Willow. But what were your thoughts on tonight, and what do you think about this for the pay-per-view as well?
I mean, do we finally see the title moving hands here? Like, is this finally it? Like, this is her first real contender that she's had. I'm not saying that, you know, she hasn't, but you know, they put
she doesn't have the baddies protecting her anymore outside of Layla Gray. Like, this is the most vulnerable she's been,
right?
I feel like.
Yeah. So you have this is it now. Do we pull the trigger? Or do we have her beat Tyra and then have Statlander maybe move in and finally, you know,
that's like, what it feels like. It feels like Statlander, or
she's on the AEW Collision poster, isn't maybe? She?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that actually.
So
I hope so. I think she was supposed to come back in the summer. So it feels like maybe they're getting close. So if that's what they're waiting for, cool.
Because Collision is going to be a big show on Saturday nights for them. You're going to be able to showcase a lot of people.
I'm hoping the women get some more screen time out of that. The thing that's kind of a bummer here is, credit to Alex Pulaski, who was on before. They had a really cool opportunity. They've had several opportunities to have her drop, because it feels like it's becoming more of a noose around her neck as a performer, because she can't move on to anything than you know, productive in her title reign anymore, if we are stalling. As Pulaski had this great idea of doing a situation where she drops to Toni Storm or Ruby Soho or someone in the Bad Girls group, because then she has an impetus to be in the day one side, the good girl side of what feels like it's going to be the blood and guts match. And realistically, if you are the good girl side, how the hell are you not asking for an undefeated multi-year champion that looks like Jade freaking Cargill in your blood and guts match? Like, they haven't even justified that by doing a segment here. So I feel like that would have been really cool, because then you have a pissed off Jade Cargill in a blood and guts match. Like, I am so in on that idea. Just feels like they're kind of fumbling here. But I'm glad this has at least been a story, because it's been a long time since we had those. I do feel like at this point they've waited so long, it's probably Statlander's on return, which I think will be a very healthy thing, because I think that title should probably be like your women's workhorse title. And I think that is probably Chris Statlander's MO a little bit. So I think that'll be good.
Yeah, I hope that they finally do some meaningful events, fights, storylines for Jade.
Agreed. Agreed. Guys, we're about halfway through Rampage. Please get in your Super Chats and Humper Chats as we come down the home stretch. We've got the Acclaimed with Billy Gunn and the Varsity Athletes. They're settling into this trio of things. I have mixed feelings on it, but Bowens goes for the arrival and Nice counters with a really big strike towards the end of this match. I love this. Bowens fighting back and lays him out, tags in Caster, and they finish Nice off here. I really like the Varsity Athletes a lot. One thing that's been frustrating as an ROH stan is the lack of clarity in the rosters, and the Varsity Athletes were kind of being positioned to be really good. Like as a stronghold there. I hope they still are, but it's like, man, every time I get invested in someone, they show up on a different brand under this entity a little bit. So that is kind of a bummer. I love Tony Nese. I love Josh Woods. But this match was perfectly fine and was fun. I know you love the Acclaimed. So
I love the Acclaimed. Yeah. So, I mean, gosh, you guys can scissor me anytime. I just love them. Oh, thank you. Oh, we're wrong way. Damn it.
I know. It's so.
How do I not know my own scissoring ways? That's so sad. I let down Bowens. I'm sorry. It's funny, this trios thing, right? Like, where are they sticking with it? Is this, I mean, Billy Gunn,
another one, you had the hottest tag team in the world, and you just followed
and
it
they
up with,
fizzled it. Yeah,
they've got Jeff Jarrett with four title defenses in 4 months, or since January, in 5 months.
The Acclaimed should still be tag team champions, I think, and they should have rode this to Wembley or whatever they wanted to do. Even Double or Nothing later on, like, just give it to them. Like, they were piling on great wins. They were looked like they had some great stories that they were going to move forward with, and it just ended, and it pissed me off. But anyway, back to this match.
They gave it to the Guns to give it to FTR.
Yeah, I don't know. Weird. Yeah. The match, I thought it was pretty good. I Billy Gunn is doing the best work I think in a long time. He looks good out there. I don't know why. I don't know if he's rejuvenated with these boys.
He's just being used a little better, I think. Like, right? This is all the complaints I have about Jeff Jarrett. Look, it's not my favorite thing in the world because I have no attachment to the era that Billy Gunn came from. So this isn't like, I'm not like, oh man, I need more Billy Gunn on my television. But him and Sting, I feel like, have been used a lot better than Jeff Jarrett.
Yes.
That's how you should probably be using legends. So even if I don't have a nostalgia pop for them, I can recognize that other people do in that way.
Yeah,
so
and having Billy Gunn attached to them too, like, it's really the stock for Max and whatever have gone up. Bowens have just massively gone up, because I don't care what anyone says, like, Billy Gunn's a name that we know since we were kids, and you bring him into the fold, and you're right. Someone like even staying with Darby, you know, like, you've paired these legends in a way that has actually helped elevate these guys a little bit. I hope they don't keep him as a trio. I hope that this is just like, you know, a little bit of a thing where Billy Gunn does not need to be wrestling, in my opinion.
I mean, them versus House of Black could be like a very fun thing because they're so different, but it's also a little bit risky because they're so different.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you want either team losing in that scenario. So
right. We'll
see. We'll see what happens. But I think they're trying to balance their tag and trios division for sure.
I see that. I see that now more than ever. The trio, they're really pushing trios, which is cool, because now you're going to If you're putting the trios on the collision show, you know?
Sure. You also have the best friends who are a trio, though. You know what I mean? Like, and like, because Orange Cassidy has his title reign, are you not going to make them a trio? Like, there is some ambiguity there, but it's ambiguity I have patience for when you're
I've always been three rosters
and two divisions or whatever.
Always been a big fan of threesome. So, like, let's just keep them coming.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, we've got enough clavicle to go around. Why wouldn't you?
I got to show some tonight before we leave.
We're moving on to QTV. This is another thing that has been so confusing to me after all of the anticipation of the Book of Hobbs, this pivot to QTV and Hobbs getting this cup of coffee of a title reign and nothing to really follow it up. But
I know.
I love QTV though. I'm one of those people who adores this. Solo gets asked if he attacks Matt Hardy, but says he isn't trying to get deleted, which I appreciate. QT Marshall says that they're signed up for the International Battle Royal, but not Cameron, which I think was important to clarify. He praises Hobbs for being a part of Collision. They talk about the guys Hobbs can take out, and Marshall says that on June 17th, the real story begins. This has just been like one of the most start and stop dudes out of the gate. I feel bad. There's such an incredible amount of momentum behind it. And then they had him drop the title back to Wardlow and didn't really do anything. We also get a promo from Ethan Page that really, really strongly laid out kind of everything that we've been building toward to this point. Page says that Cassidy will never moan again after they see them at Double or Nothing. So we set up this match, which I thought was really, really well done. Ethan Page is definitely someone who they need to feature now that they're going to have more of this breathing room on Collision. Like, yeah, that dude deserves to be positioned as a star, because damn it if he isn't one. And then I'll give you one more quick promo and I will get your thoughts on QTV, Paige and Cassidy, and this. Adam Cole and Jericho have a little bit of a back and forth here. Cole appears from a location, all right, and says that every time that Jericho leaves the arena, he's going to beat Jericho's ass. Jericho says that he's basically not a man of his word because what he did with the Roddy Strong match showing up, but he wasn't in the building. He was outside the building, so it's all fair rules. He said he didn't have the Jericho Appreciation Society alongside, so he is a man of his word. We are going to get a false count anywhere between these two at the pay-per-view. The card's shaping up a lot on this Rampage that's kind of a throwaway time slot, which is a little bit odd, but nice to see some matches forming. What were your QTV, Ethan Page and Cassidy, and Nicole and Jericho thoughts and what we set up here?
I don't know why I'm into QTV, but I look forward to it. I don't know whatever they they do, I'm behind it. The whole thing with Hobbs, you know how much I love Powerhouse. He is You know, he is daddy to me. I don't understand why they took his title away. I felt like the title made, and I was talking to Freddie about this, and Freddie said he's very young still.
Sure.
In the world of wrestling, he's still green, kind of like sort of, you know. So like Freddie made a couple good points to me about him and about like his situation and like where he could be in the next couple of months. So I kind of just leaned back and said, all right, fine, I'll let it be. Plus the QTV stuff always is, you know, it makes me crack up.
But when you have this presentation around him, like,
yeah,
you could say the same thing about Jaden. She's had a wildly productive title, right?
Yeah.
Like, she feels like a top star and she has been doing this for an even shorter time than Hobbs. So I think it's more that you set up all of these vignettes and you gave him a title and then you just,
yeah, you kind of just, off, yeah, right? Yeah. So you know, it felt like it ended too quick, like something just that it didn't make sense. I wanted more of Hobbs on TV, more. He didn't even really defend it. We, you know, like, especially since we only get 4 pay-per-views, I would have loved to see him more on pay-per-views, like beating people up until it finally got to the point where like he had to lose it at their big show, wherever that would be, you know? And as far as Jericho, what more can you say, man? Like, he is making way with these fights that he's having along the way with all, whether it's a new wrestler that's coming into the scene, whether it was Orange Cassidy before with the Orange Punch match, whatever that was, the Orange Juice match. And now going one-on-one with someone like, you know, Adam Cole, who does he need this match with Jericho? No. But am I down to watch it? Hell yeah. Like, I want to see what kind of shenanigans he's going to pull off in this unsanctioned match. And by him, I mean Jericho, to try to get over Adam Cole. And
fingers crossed.
And if certain people, yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. If certain people,
he's ready, my heart. Ugh.
If certain people start showing up in this match where you have Adam Cole in a corner, and out of nowhere, these guys go come back together. You know what I'm saying? Hell, I'll even bring back Bobby Fish for a night. Bring them all back, right?
I mean, where's the lie, Alex? But for, I do gotta,
you know,
I really love Kyle O'Reilly. Like,
yeah, I, that's what I think. It's, I mean, if yeah. Do you think that it'll happen? I honestly feel like the place would go ape shit if he and
if Kyle Roderick O'Reilly Strong, came back,
yeah,
yeah, with while Roddy Strong and yeah, and yeah. Adam Cole are there, I it just depends, because I think he had spinal fusion surgery, which is a lot. He also doesn't have to be like full on in ring cleared, so it just depends on how close he is, because I don't think you want him to return if he's not close to being cleared. I don't think right. he needs to be cleared, but I think he needs to be close.
Could he throw a chair at somebody?
Yeah, exactly.
That's just, all I want to do.
A neutralizer for the rest of the JAS, I think, could be really fun.
Yes, yeah.
I love KOR. Like, I'm such a fan of his work, and it just breaks my heart because right before he got injured, I feel like people were starting to see what I felt like I'd been seeing for years. He had like 3 matches in a row that people were like, "Holy crap, this guy's amazing!"
Yeah.
And, I love the dude so much. But I'm also intrigued because the Jericho Appreciation Society wasn't there. But I'm wondering if we're also getting a split with the JAS. Like, it doesn't seem like they're as much of a unit as they've been. I'm kind of over it. I would like for people to move on from it. I feel like Daniel Garcia is being held back by this. Sammy Guevara feels very lost to me, which is unfortunate. But I think him always being a Jericho lackey has created a creative crutch for them. And they need to do a better job by Sammy in figuring that out. And 2.0, I mean, what can you even say? Those guys, you can put them anywhere. You're going to have a good time. So,
I know. Yeah.
I think it would be a healthy decision for them to move on from it and start to splinter that out. I think it could be fun.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, just it's an unsanctioned match, which, you know, stuff is going to happen now. You're just waiting to see what it is that's going to happen, you know?
That's right. That is right. So we get this Y2J and Adam Cole baby brawl, and we move to our main event. We've got Dustin and Khan and the Mogul Embassy attacking everyone after chaos, I tell you. But a fun match, man. Khan is a force to be reckoned with. And Dustin,
he's insane.
He's retiring on his own terms. Like, this guy can still go. It's kind of ridiculous. This ends with Khan charging Dustin, but we get a bulldog from Rhodes. We get some blood in this. It is a hard-hitting one. It is a fun one. And we get some shenanigans after the final reckoning that ends this. The Embassy sets Keith Lee on a chair. There's a lot of Lees running around. Lee Moriarty, we got a lot of people. But the Embassy setting Keith Lee on a chair, and Swerve goes up top. Double stomps to CD Keith Lee, sends him to the mat. Brian Cage has Rhodes and a Campbell clutch. The Embassy posing over both of them. This is so much fun. I think we're finally getting to the blow-off that I've been asking for months between Keith Lee and Swerve. The Mogul Embassy doing so much more for me than the Mogul affiliates. This has been so much better for Swerve if he is going to have lackeys. And this has been such a great natural step for what we got from Brian Cage and the rest of the Mogul Embassy. Love me some Prince Nada, but they were doing some really fun work on ROH. It just feels, everything feels cooler when Swerve is involved. Everything in the world feels cool when Swerve is involved. But this feels like a better pairing for the henchmen, for the leader of this group. Let's get to this blow off. I'm excited. This is the most streamlined Brian Cage has felt in a very, very long time. It feels like a perfect role for him. Swerve is just so damn cool all the time. this is the chaos that I need at like 6:30 or whatever the hell it was, 7 o'clock on the Friday night. What were your thoughts on the main event match and on the shenanigans that we got after?
I put this on the Twitter. I really am enjoying this swerve moment right now. He just, the way he comes out, his music, he is a huge star.
He's him, man.
Rampage is his show. I'm sorry. Because whenever he's on it, I'm focused on what he's going to do next. I love the way he just kind of just that slow methodical movement towards what he wants to do and how he's going to do it.
Dastardly.
He's just like
so cool. Yeah.
Like oh, he looks like somebody in real life that you meet that will break you. I'm sorry. Like you cross the wrong neighborhood, you pass the wrong alley, or you decide to step on someone's sneaker the wrong way by mistake, you're going to get your ass beat. I grew up in areas like that as a kid. So I remember, and when I look at him, I'm like, he's a badass.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So now the other thing with Dustin is, like I was saying before, I would have loved for him to kind of retire and really educate and be part of AEW. I hope that he sticks around. He might go with his brother. Who knows? I know that once he's finally retired, WWE's going to definitely take the chance to put him in, you know, well-deserved. But, you know,
he's a big part of what's going on at the Nightmare Factory, though. They would have to do some work to get him away because he's very involved in that. He's very involved with the women's division in AEW.
I know that's I just hope, and I know that, you know, minds could get changed. I really want to see him take AEW under his wing. Because I feel like with this knowledge, and can I ask you a question? When we were growing up, our older generation wrestlers did not look like this generation's wrestlers that we're seeing, that we grew up with watching that when they were in their 20s and 30s, right?
Well, yeah. Congratulations to Dustin Rhodes today, by the way, who I think said he's 15 years sober. That will help you from looking like a lot of the older guys in our generation. Yeah. So there's a lot of people.
Because the older dudes, if you look at Demolition, if you look at Greg the Hammer, Valentine, all those guys that we go, except for Hulk. Hulk always just looked great, you know, body-wise. But these guys are in incredible shape. They're doing so many great things. And never once does it cross my mind, oh, can we get this guy off TV? I mean, like, can we just like...
No, he's not overstaying his welcome
never,
at all. I think there's just so much more awareness about it too. Like that there's such an emphasis on physical health and the toll that things take on wrestlers' bodies now, which thank goodness, because they say that every time you go through the mat is like a car accident. It's a very intense physical experience. So it is very nice to see, like,
he's busted open, he's doing his thing. Like, he's just
killing it.
I grew up watching him on WCW with his dad, you know, like that's what I remember, like having that 18 wheeler match where they were fighting in the back of an 18 wheeler in an open cage back there, you know, through the highways. Like, I want to see him take the reins in AEW and run with it.
Speaking of these older generation guys, Sting at the pay-per-view, please. Sting! Love Kate and Alex. You know, I think he might not be, because it feels like so much of this pillar story is about who getting away from their mentors and standing on their own. I don't hate it.
And he's taking a step back. Definitely taking a step back and letting Darby breathe and not kind of be like, you know, he would have to be there. He doesn't have to be there.
And I feel like they had the vignettes where everybody had their mentor, right? Except MJF, because nobody likes him because he's mean all the time. But you had Jungle Boy. You had Christian Cage saying, like, you know, we're on different sides of the coin, but I can't deny his talent. You had Jericho speaking about Sammy Guevara, and you had Sting speaking about Darby. And then I think that was set up to be like, okay, now they're their own pillars. Like, we did our tutelage. I think part of the story, and an integral part of the story, is that they don't need to be there. I always pop for Sting. I didn't watch wrestling as a kid, so the fact that I get to see him live is something that's really, really special. I can't believe I get to, in some ways. It's pretty wild.
Also, by the way, just the fact that you'll be able to see AEW Collision at the Prudential in June, if you're going.
I am
so damn jealous of you right now. And I'm hoping that with the inclusion of this show, you know, they spread out more. I know they like going to Charlotte and stuff.
Sure,
like that. I want them to come more East Coast out here to like Raleigh. You know, they have a huge, I mean, the Hurricanes play here and it's freaking 16,000 people packed.
That's hopefully what Jeff Jarrett will be working on moving forward.
I love Jeff.
Dennis is saying, do you think OC will lose his belt to Double or Nothing? I do. I think that's going to go to Miro, maybe Andrade, someone on the Collision side that's been announced as a staple. I think would be a really good call for that. I think that brings us to the end of our show. It was nice to get to talk about Rampage. It's been a minute.
Look at this. What a great show we had tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Guys, thank you guys so much for the support. We appreciate it. Guys, we had so much fun tonight. We appreciate you. Stay in tune with Fightful Select. Head over there to find out more about all of the latest and greatest breaking scoops. You get 40 bonus shows a month over there as well. Yeah. You get Sean's Q&A. You get me and Pulowski doing pay-per-view post shows. A lot happening. But ask Cardoza, who fills in for me when I'm elsewhere oftentimes now. It seems like you're the go-to person for Joel and Pulowski, spreading some wings over here. But where else can the people find you?
Well, you could always find me on OnlyFans. I mean, on Instagram, at Alexis Cardoza. And you see here on my lower third here on the Twitter machine at underscore Alexis Cardoza as well. Like, just find me, talk to me. Let's talk wrestling. I hate everything in life right now that has to do with how mean everyone is with each other. And I feel like when it comes to wrestling, comic books, movies and stuff, that's the part of my life that I want to be at now. You know?
That's a shame because I hate you. So,
clavicles.
Oh no! It's your superpower. Oh god!
I showed both of them. Sean will never have me back
kryptonite.
Here.
Kryptonite. Oh, please.
It is. It is.
Sean spoke to join on air before he didn't get it. Look,
the reefer.
I'm at Miss Kate Fabe. You can find me there on Twitter and on TikTok. Kate's Instagrams on Instagram. Having some more fun on the old content creation side of things of late. But you can also catch me Wednesdays at the Mark Order Pod, talking all things All Elite. I'm on Fightful Select Mondays for Sour Graps. I am on the main channel here at Fightful Tuesdays and Thursdays for NXT Sour Graps at ROH, where I'm very sweet on the product. And Fridays, as always, right here doing the AEW Rampage and SmackDown post show. Thank you guys so much. Have a safe and wonderful weekend. We're out of here.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.